Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. So we will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat or just because they're a Republican and you voted that way your entire life, well, just maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there that are working for your benefits, and we're going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them speak. We're going to let you ask them questions. We're also going to be discussing the education system, the military, science, sports, music, the movies. Ah, yes, healthcare. Do you have it? Do you need it? Is your 26-year-old still on the family's health care plan? Or, as the Progressive Party says, Obamacare? We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word in everything. From the cities, the counties, the state, the nation, the entire world. So sit down. Get a pencil, paper, and take a graduate education experience, and we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
Don't you ever talk that way to me.
Never! Never!
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants. Well, he gets it. And I don't like it any more than you, man.
I really don't like it any more than you, man. Now, this is actually Thursday night. And we're doing a pre-taping because I'm going to be away. And I just could not do another week without saying something about what the hell this country is going through. And we have our three co-stars, or the two other co-stars on the show, Mr. Michael Bogan. Hello, Mr. Bogan.
Hello there, Michael.
And Mr. Thomas Fortenberry, how are you, sir?
Hello, how are you, Mike?
I'm not doing too good because I knocked over my drink. Anyway,
tragedy
I'm not doing good.
Abound.
Yes, and what we have here is a failure of communication. You understand? Mm-hmm. We just don't know what the hell is in trust for us if we get this fool elected again. He's got to go.
See, Michael, I have to stop you because you're already failing to communicate.
Yes, I know.
There are different words.
Yes.
They sound very similar, Michael, and they
yes,
have different definitions.
And,
so, election and selection.
Election?
These are different things.
Select.
And
yes,
we selected a leader last time, and we need to correct that mistake because we actually elected somebody who's not sitting in the White House. It's kind of crazy.
We have somebody who's supposed to be in the White
selection.
House,
yes.
And he's not already. He's played more golf than President Obama in 8 years. And, of course, he don't play golf. He cheats at golf. I mean, there's a big difference. He cheats at golf. Now,
that's a well-known fact.
That is a well-known fact.
Well,
and
we could say it's par for the course, Mike.
Yes, well, as Hyman Roth said, this is the business we have chosen. This is the ass we have put in the White House. And now we're all paying for it. We're all paying. Now, listen, I don't care if you elected this moron. I don't care if you're one of those people that elected him. I haven't. I don't care. The problem is, what are we going to do about it this time? Do you remember this?
Well, my people are so smart. And you know what else they say about my people? The polls. They say, I have the most loyal people. Did you ever see that? Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible.
Now, I mean, this is a guy.
Ironically, Mike, that's the one time he didn't lie.
Yes, that's true. That's absolutely true. And these fools out there who did not know this man but just wanted somebody else in there besides the black guy, that's all it was. That's all it was. It wasn't I want to make money. They don't make money hand over fist. They had stock that went down to practically zero and then went back up again. This man hasn't created no revolution. I mean, Obama had to work from 6,000. This man came in at 19 or 21,000. I mean, what are we talking about here? Now, Chris Matthews, I think, did a great job tonight. And this is what sparked me. I mean, what are we going to do with this fool? What are we going to do with this fool? I just want to know, what are we going to do with this fool? This fool who has taken us through the ringer, and now we have the number one detective that's been in the government who was there since 9/11, who we entrusted with our military, I mean, with the FBI, and he brought us to where we are protected. He brought the FBI into the real world. He did it. This is the man that did it. Now, what are we going to do?
Highlighted yesterday by Special Counsel Robert Mueller of the Trump administration's cooperation with a foreign power in the corruption of an American presidential election. Will there be impeachment or not? That's coming up.
Well, what do you think, Mr. Fortenberry?
The hearings were what I expected. I didn't think there would be any, ground-shaking revelation to come out of it. I was slightly disappointed that we didn't get more, but I do think that I mean, the report's already been written. We already know the truth, despite the fact that we've got a party that's, you know, denying the truth and pretending that the report doesn't exist. I do think that the most relevant or shocking one single line out of it was when Mueller said that the Russian interference is not just that it happened, but it's ongoing, and it is the single greatest threat to democracy ever. And I think, unfortunately, by what I'm seeing, because even after he sits up there and testifies with damning evidence on a president, which would have sunk anybody's career, the White House is, you know, laughing. The Republicans are all attacking him, smearing his name, and they're all denying the literal words, you know, saying the reverse is true, that it exonerates and proves, you know, everything is great. And then on top of that, you've got, you know, this alternate reality where not only do they just deny that there's a problem, but, you know, within hours of the man speaking before Congress under oath, the Republican Party voted not once but twice, yet again, to block any kind of election protections, any kind of cybersecurity, and they're leaving us completely wide open. And I think it's going to take, unfortunately, an absolute tragedy, train wreck, and maybe a crippling of democracy before anybody starts to act. I think we're going to have a crisis, you know, just like a 9/11 or whatever, before anyone acts. And I'm getting very worried now.
Well, listen, Mike and I were talking about that, and I just what you said at the last part of your conversation, and we were talking about that just earlier. But I want you to hear this.
And now the Senate's taking up steps to address at least one of those concerns. In a bipartisan report issued just today, the Senate Intelligence Committee detailed the Russian threat to America's election infrastructure, assessing the vulnerabilities of our voting system, our voting machines that we rely on to conduct free and fair elections. The report states that in 2016, cybersecurity for electoral infrastructure at the state and local level was sorely lacking. Aging voting equipment, particularly voting machines that had no paper record of votes, were vulnerable to exploitation by a committed adversary. According to this report, the committee's investigation scrutinized the 21 states that authorities originally believed were targeted by Russia in 2016. The report suggests, however, that all 50 states, look at them there, were all likely targeted by the Russians. And while no evidence suggests that any votes were changed this time, the report ominously says that Russia may have been probing vulnerabilities in voting systems to exploit later. In other words, they've been casing, like people walking out on the street looking for the weed with the windows open or the car doors open. And this comes after Senate Republicans blocked two election security bills last night following Mueller's testimony, including legislation intended to provide cyber assistance to senators themselves to prevent them from being hacked. When the Hill newspaper was first to report, the bill was blocked by a single Republican senator, Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi. She stopped all that effort to secure our electoral process. In fact, in a tweet, she said, Senate Democrats try to push partisan election bills without going through regular order right after the House hearings with Mueller. Coincidence? No. Just more political theater. That's what she said. I'm joining now by me.
No. Michael, what do you think of that? I mean, just think of that. Just tell me what you think of that.
Well, a few things. Number one, I heard subsequent to our earlier conversation that not two bills only stopped by McConnell and his cohorts.
Yeah.
Now a total of eight times. Not once, but twice, but eight times. I still find it hard to believe that any one senator can stop a motion to bring the bill to the floor.
Yep,
find that mind-boggling.
Is it? I mean, well, why would, I mean, how the heck can we have a system that works that way?
I'm going to look into this further. I still can't believe it.
Thomas, that is true. You heard that before, right?
Yeah.
Did we talk about that once before?
Yeah, we've talked about that in the past because they used that several times to stop, you know, Obama from getting
right.
any kind of legislation to his desk and things like that. But it's kind of more, I think it's actually a, it's not a constitutional power, it's a tradition, but it's a very
right.
old one. And it's one of the Senate's most honored tradition because it supposedly it allows a minority of one, literally, but a minority to have the power to stop a majority so that there is actual debate and all that. But the problem is, of course, that it gets abused.
Well, yeah, they stopped the civil rights legislation in 1994 from going through for 2 months.
Okay,
they
well, I'm, gonna look,
right.
I'm going to personally look into this further. May or may not have something with this reference, regular order. In other words,
it's called,
it's
called regular order. Where it has to come up through to the committees or whatnot, but one person can prevent it from going to the floor for a vote.
Okay. Again, I find that unbelievable.
I mean, unbelievable isn't the word.
Well, I mean, that's, yeah, and it's just one of those things. And, you know, by the way, an aside, it didn't surprise me, but every time, you know, Mike, we've had this conversation
yeah.
for decades. Every time there's any really bad news out of Washington, you can guarantee that Mississippi is attached to it somewhere. You know?
you beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you about that. Where is she from in Mississippi? Do you know?
The really stupid backwards part.
I don't know.
I don't keep up with her. She was the one who, if you remember the election just recently, got elected. She was the one who made some outrageously insulting and disgusting racist comments and then just kind of still walked on into power.
Yes, I remember some of those events, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just very sad, but she was part of that, I think, empowered by, we'll call it Trumpism, but, you know, empowered by the return of outright racism and bigotry. And that's, you know, she went in on those elections because
well,
of that.
Now, the thing is that people are talking about, well, the Democrats got blood. This fool Trump is talking about, I wanted this. Listen, he has more so-called things that he can be indicted on than Nixon.
Oh, yeah.
He has more. But as he, what makes it worse, what he is can be indicted on, Nixon wouldn't have done if everybody closed their eyes.
Right.
Nixon is a choir boy compared to her.
I agree.
Well, and there's also, I was just going to say, there's also the other side of that is that even then, even, you know, the party was still standing firm. They were all for Nixon up until, you know, true evidence of a crime occurred. And then they said, oh, there's nothing we can do. Sorry, you know, but we have to do the right thing. The difference now is we have a party that is so craven. They're 100%
you're
wrong.
In. Don't go any further. You're
anything
wrong.
For power.
It's not a party. It's not a party. It's a cult. It's a cult.
And that's true, you know. But the difference is this time around, I don't see any. That's why I said I'm. It's becoming dire. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I don't see any hope that one of them is going to. Well, you know, the one guy who even said anything he got drummed out of the party and had to quit and become an independent. But I don't see any hope of any of them standing up and doing the quote unquote right thing, even though it hurts party. To preserve the nation because it's for the good of the nation. Because we have literally the worst crimes we've ever documented by a president, and we've got ongoing, very troubling, we'll not use the word collusion, relations with a foreign power. We've got secret meetings and conversations constantly, destruction of notes, all kinds of things going on, even to this day, and yet they aren't even lifting an eyebrow or you know, coughing into a hand. They're not even acknowledging that it happens. And so I think we've crossed a whole different bridge into alt reality here. So I don't know where that's why I think that Pelosi, you know, is stuck and is trying to just, like, not even do her constitutional duty. Because they know it's going nowhere, but we have a party that is blocking the functioning of the Constitution, just like a senator can stand up and stop a bill in the Senate. You know, they're doing the same thing for the Constitution, and it's kind of scary.
I don't think, though, Nancy Pelosi is doing anything wrong. I think Nancy Pelosi wants to get these Democrats off their ass. And I think she wants them to put forth, hey, you put up or this is where we're going. I don't think she's afraid of impeaching him. I think she wants these people to stand up. If you get 150 Democrats, we have, what, 240 four in the House? Something like that, 240? I think if you get 150, it's going to be case closed. And she will go through it with whether or not the senators will go through it or not.
Well, no, there's a total difference. I don't think there's any problem with her, like, impeaching. I think she was trying to do due diligence. She wanted to go very slow. She told all the committees, do your investigations, get all of the evidence so that we have everything locked up. Everything is written down. Every T is crossed. Every I is dotted. You know, we put a bow on the whole thing. And it's perfectly impeachable. We can go proceed, right? But I think the difference this time is, and what is really stymieing, because several reports, conversations and things that I have read, is that now that the Republicans are stonewalling and the administration is stonewalling everything, they have ignored every legal, constitutional request for interviews, every subpoena, every ask for notes, for emails, for anything that has ever occurred in the entire administration.
Subpoenas.
So now they've got nothing except for the Mueller report. They've got no, you know, there's nothing going on. And then on top of that, the Senate has made it clear that they're probably going to not even allow, you know, anything to proceed, thanks to Mitch. So I think from what I'm reading, they feel that if they go through the impeachment now, it's going to simply make him a martyr and put all of the Republicans, those that are already angry or not angry or disgusted with him or fed up with this, it will bring them all back together and make him a far stronger martyred candidate. And so their calculation now, I'm afraid, is to not impeach at all and to try to win the election.
That's so I have a comment beyond what you said, Thomas.
We have. We have, Mike.
Okay, so a few things. Clock is ticking. President and his administration continuing to stonewall. Legal cases that may be adjudicated rapidly, or they may not be. First of which is the subpoena bring McGahn before
right.
Congress. That may be happening very, very soon.
Absolutely.
All the other stonewalling apparently have used the same reasoning, stonewalling, pending information, or allowing appearances before the committees. So that dam could break open at any point in time. On the other hand, the clock is ticking. As pointed out again today, between the Nixon, way back, it took about 6 months, soup to nuts, before Nixon actually resigned from office.
Yep.
That's one major issue, the clock. The other issue, amongst others, is Democratic Party is divided. There are new members of the House who took their seats, who could theoretically lose their seats. So the majority of the Democrats at this point, as far as we know, would not vote to go forward with impeachment. However, it still irks me that no one has taken up the thought proposed by that TV commentator, Donnie Deutsch, about not talking about impeachment, simply labeling what you're doing shrimp, right, here's a shrimp, the Trump criminal investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because anytime Trump and his sycophants would react to that, they have to be reacting to the Trump criminal investigation.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
It means whatever you want it to mean. That's the beauty of it.
Well, but they're doing that right now. They need to come up with a proposal for impeachment. Because
okay,
once
listen.
They do that, the rules in the House say you now, everybody you sent a subpoena to, had better come.
Okay, but hold it. That's proceeding forward under an impeachment inquiry.
Right.
What Thomas is saying is there's been a great reluctance for Pelosi to put that into play.
Yes.
Today's date.
Well, and it's the reason why I just said because the senator, the Senate, there is no more Senate. There is only Democrats in the Senate. There are no Republicans in the Senate. There are only Trump people in the Senate. There's no more GOP. That has been gone since 2015. They are gone. And what they have now is a group of thugs working under a gangster like they have in Russia and Turkey and the Philippines and Iran and Syria. That's what they have now running one third or one half of the country, two thirds of the country. The problem is that these people who act like thugs have to be treated like you're acting with thugs. I saw today for the first time, and I'm so damn mad that I didn't see this before. Tom Hardy played twins, the biggest gang pair in England. You remember them, Thomas, right? What's the name? The Garys, or what's their names? McGarry's, Grady's, or something. That was their name. One was a complete psychopath, and the other one was a smart psychopath who could control most of the time his rage. And they ruled London in the 50s. They even chased the mafia, didn't want to have anything to do with them once they got the head of the mafia. Well, his right-hand man came over to England to meet with them. And he said, you know, we dealt like he's talking to after they were just shooting people and robbing things. They were laundering banknotes through them, bearer bonds, I should say, that were blank names on it. They were stealing, hijacking them, and they were getting 50-50. But the brother, the crazy brother, would always do something stupid, and it just got out of hand. Anyway,
I think it was the Cray brothers.
The Cray brothers, absolutely right. So the head of the mafia, his right hand man came over to him and said, look, we like what you're doing, we're like making plenty of money, blah, 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 but you gotta do something about your brother. And he said, look, I can't do nothing about my brother. He says, you gotta do something about him. He says, no, I can't do nothing about him. He says, okay. And what they did, they crept their way out of it. They stopped doing that. They're running all the action, all the casinos in London and whatnot. And the crazy brother, he one day when his brother was in his brother had to go do some time with something that he did, and which is unusual. See, I didn't see the first 15 minutes of it, but his brother did something. I mean, it's so unbelievable that the crazy brother wasn't locked up before. He was never locked up. So what happened was they had all these casinos, and nobody came to him anymore. Because the fool started shooting guns in the air when he didn't like this, he didn't like that, and people didn't applaud for him when he was playing the trumpet, and he couldn't play the trumpet. He admitted he couldn't play the trumpet. But he said, hey, this is how I want you all to laugh. And nobody's here. Okay, go with that. They never came back. So the thing is, the brother went, he had a major fight when he came out. You're killing our business. They had a big fight in the daggone, their big casino. Anyway, the mafia said, we're not dealing with you guys anymore. This is what's going to happen with the Trump organization. The Trump, what do you call them? What can you call them? They're not an organization. Cult. They're going to have a major problem. And it's all going to go to shit in a handbasket. And what's going to happen, the Democrats are going to be here now. Everything wide open. And you know what? That's the worst thing that can happen to Democrats. Because if there's nobody watching them, they'll do the same damn thing.
Yeah.
They will. They can't help one another. They cannot help it. We need a Democrat and we need a Republican party. If we don't have both looking at each other, they will both do the same damn thing. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, this doesn't make me very happy and uplifted, Mike. Thanks.
I know. I'm sorry. But that's it. And it's not just because we have two parties. If you had five parties, you have the same damn thing. Look. They got all them damn parties in England. And look who's the damn prime minister now. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, Trump Jr.
Yeah. You at least it's easier to control if you got only two. You can't control it if you have 10. Or five.
You know, Mike,
or seven.
We've talked about this in the past, too, but I'm so... I mean, I guess, you know, my giant Russian hat is off to the man, but I can't fathom how Vlad the Impaler Putin has managed to single-handedly, really it is single-handedly, I guess, he has managed to you know, kneecap the entire West. And he is very close to decapitating the two biggest powers of NATO. He's taken out both England and America. And that's phenomenal. That really is. You know, and then
they've got pretty severe
threats to Canada and France.
Yeah, but that's because
that
those two entities went to shit with their daggone leaders. And what it is, you see, it's not everybody in the GOP. The GOP was taken over by a cult just like the freaking the Sharon Tate group. That fool. That was a cult. But there were only a handful of people. There are only a handful of people. But how many people just take the control of cult?
Right. You know, it's the same thing with anything else. You know, how many friends does Stalin need to, you know, create a terror for 70 years? So it's still working. It doesn't matter. You know, how many friends does the Ayatollah need, you know? So the problem is, though, is that he's masterfully ginned up the base, all of these tribal fears of the other, you know, where the every race and every religion hates everybody else and every language hates the other language. Yeah. And, I mean, we've got to the point where, you know, jokingly, but they were literally posted the other day about trying to have another referendum in Scotland to take Scotland out of England. And then somebody jokes about building a wall, rebuilding Hadrian's Wall. So that they can keep the English out. I mean, you know, but that's exactly Trumpism. I mean, it's literally the same.
Right.
You could, it's verbatim. So,
but you,
you give these people
an inch. You give them an inch, they'll take a mile. That's the reason why.
Yeah.
You always got to control these people. Michael, I heard from you. What's the story?
Well,
what do you,
I try not to interrupt. A stimulating conversation as
you
an
got,
onlooker.
You got the English and the French in Canada. How are you guys keeping everything without throwing rocks at one another?
Well,
how do you do that?
Truth be told, I pay more attention to politics in the United States than I do in Canada. There is an election forthcoming probably by November. It will probably start 3 weeks prior to November. Unlike the United States, things happen very, very quickly. And a very small amount of money is spent on campaigns in Canada. That would also be the case in the UK. In any event, I have some jocular comments.
Yes.
Where was Jim Comey when we needed him?
Hey, he was fired.
We could have used him yesterday in place of Mueller to really paint a story.
Well, the thing is, Mueller told us what he was going to do. And you have to, and I can't criticize one thing, a single thing he did, because the first 5 minutes of both Nadler and Schiff's opening remarks told you everything about what Trump did to this country. And Mueller said yes to everything. So
okay,
the people that didn't hear the first 10 minutes. Go ahead.
Except for one thing. What I said was initially, we had Jim Comey testifying instead of Robert Mueller, we'd have had an entirely different hearing.
Yeah, I mean, you say
Comey,
it too.
Comey
if you're Al Pacino, but you can't say that. You say Al Pacino then, Henry Fonda. I mean, anybody. I mean, but you can't say that. We got to take people whose job it was.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. There were many questions, not one. Between 100 and 200 questions.
Right. Right. He didn't answer.
Wherein Mueller stated, I refer you to the report.
Right.
If it's in the report, I stand by the report.
Right. But why didn't the next question come from the senator? Can you read us the line? It's page 181, line 54. Can you read that to us?
And he refused to do so. And guess what? I heard that for a couple of weeks prior, both committees knew he would defer from doing any reading.
Right, but what happened is the senator should have read it himself. He said, well, I thank you. You don't want to read it. Mr. Mueller, I will read it. You read it and say,
you're correct.
You wrote?
It would have it would have been better if Mueller had read it. And guess what? I would have forced him to read it.
Well,
were entirely too deferential.
Well, the thing
here's a case in point. He was asked point blank, did President Trump, in the course of your investigations, either take the Fifth Amendment and responding to a question or say that he would? And Mueller refused to answer.
Do you know why? There was a reason why.
Well, supposedly he was restrained by the DOJ.
No. The reason why is because he would not be able to defend himself if he put that on him. The president, that's what he was going by. I could not do anything that represented the president as a crook or said that he did this or did that. Now, when they asked him a direct question, they never asked him, did the president ever do this or did the president ever do that? They said, did the president not answer all your questions? He said, and asked him about the written form that he filled out. He says, in general. That's how he put it. In general. He did not say, no, he didn't answer any of the questions. No, he answered. He said, in general, that's how it went. So that meant that he didn't, but he never used the words yes or no with that. So he was staying within his limits. But they already knew that before he got there. So I can't blame Mueller for that.
I'm saying is there are ways to be more forceful with a witness testifying before a judicial committee.
Well, you had the five prosecutors up there. Why didn't the prosecutors come up with something? Schiff's a prosecutor. Nana's a prosecutor.
It doesn't mean they're brilliant.
Well, and they could have done like they did with the Watergate hearings. They had special prosecutors brought in to ask those questions.
Well, and you know what? This is another thing that bothered me. The Intel Committee members made, you know, better presentations than the Judiciary Committee. But if I were the chairman of either committee, I would have hired outside counsel or from within for one person conduct the entire inquiry.
Yeah. Well,
I think
we don't know how this went.
15 or 20 people talking, you know, you lose the thread of thought.
Well, yeah, but the Democrats kept their thought completely intact. They did not wander off the subject. But I believe, remember, the Intel did, I should say. And that's the one he answered. He was more vibrant in the Intel Committee because he's really against the Russians, and he wanted to get that out. The thing is that they were not Mueller was not going to say anything that was detrimental to the president. Any other people, he would have, but he was very, very against the Russians, and you saw that in the Intel Committee.
I know. So let's talk about the attack by Russia on the United States.
We got 14 minutes.
And point of fact,
yes.
In 2008, when Kerry ran against Bush,
right,
you may recall that Bush won the popular vote, but Kerry could have won the Electoral College if 110,000 votes in Cincinnati went to him.
No, Kerry won the Electoral
Bush.
Vote. Well, no, Kerry won the popular vote.
No, Bush won the popular vote.
No, no. Kerry won the popular vote. The Republicans haven't won the popular vote since since Papa Bush. I don't think Bush won any vote, any popular vote. They haven't won it since Bush.
I'm sorry, it was 2004. Now my recollection was the other way.
Oh yeah, the father,
Bush
Papa.
Won,
okay.
Bush won the popular vote.
Yes. Right.
2004, but
right.
Kerry could have won if Cincinnati voted the other way. So fast forward, if selected counties in the United States are attacked by Russia,
right,
votes are changed, that could swing the Electoral College.
Absolutely correct.
The party.
Absolutely.
That's extremely
Absolutely.
Dangerous.
Absolutely. And it's the ones that they did last time, 2016, ones especially don't have handwritten ballot, don't have a paper ballot.
Paper trail. Critical.
Right.
Right.
And do you know?
And that was, that was actually detailed in the Mueller report.
That's right.
And they've been talking about that of late. That's part of the stuff they were trying to prevent. But the Midwest, for instance, one of the most damning things the Trump administration did was, met with the Russians, and then, which I found astounding, that, these conservatives aren't up in arms since they get mad about anybody that, tries to ever get any information, for a gun or anything else. But they gave all of the voting information, the private, voting information,
private polling,
Midwestern
information,
states to the Russians.
Right.
And I'm just,
that was Ohio.
I can't believe.
That was Ohio.
Yes. And then, magically, Trump carries a lot of the area. And, it doesn't take rocket science to, put it together, if it looks and smells exactly like what it is. But I find it astounding, though, that we're not doing anything to correct the situation. And just like Michael alluded to earlier, if you think that the 2016 election was bad, it was just the first fumbling test.
That was the intro.
Wait till
that was the intro.
They've now spent 4 years, honing it. It's going to be devastating. And I think that's what Mueller was warning about. It is the greatest threat to democracy. And he said it may become the new norm.
And
I was reading a report that now for the first time that they've gotten, we had just a couple of weeks ago a simultaneous Russian-Chinese attack on American systems. And just this week I was reading that the Iranians attacked our systems about 2 weeks ago. So we may be pummeled completely out of bounds, So
the thing is, though,
in the game.
After a major taking down, they will see something definitely is wrong with this. They need to go back, like they do in, Montana, you can't give over $150 to a candidate. You can't
Sounds
give
good.
More than, you cannot give more than $150 to a candidate. It's in Montana. Now, the thing is that we cannot get a good show unless we have paper ballots. That's why everybody needs to vote absentee ballot. Who cares if it takes two more weeks to count the ballots? Who cares? 2 weeks
well,
is better than 8 years.
Well, yes, but Mike, just to point it out, you know, North Carolina being primo, wonderful example, we've got a party that refuses to follow the law in any shape or form.
Yep.
And we have a situation in election here, the only one in history has ever been recalled and redone, because they took all of those absentee ballots and all of those nice paper
yep.
ballots and altered them and or destroyed
yep.
them.
Oh, hey. That's
so,
hey, you know, you're right.
I mean, there's
well, then,
there's
then
a
what
problem.
Are you gonna
we can,
do?
We can count what exists, but if it's burning in the back, you know, into a pile of ash, we can't count it.
Okay.
You know? So there's
all
a
right.
problem.
Well, we got 7 minutes left. How do you propose this election should be counted? Give you 3 minutes, and I'll give Mr. Bogan 3 minutes.
Well, I think having a paper trail at all times, whether you're using an electronic machine or otherwise, would be a good start. And that means somewhere in the near future, federal government has to get involved in somehow overseeing and assisting and providing resources for local jurisdictions to update.
Not in the near future. We got it in 14
now.
Months. How do we do
by
it?
Now.
Well, I don't know how. That's what I'm asking you.
I don't have a solution. I haven't thought
I'm
it
just,
through.
I'm just a simple boy from Brooklyn. I don't know these things. Mr. Fortenberry?
Well,
you're from Mississippi. You're well up in these things.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm telling you. I've experienced them my whole life, and it's dire, Mike. If we do not, and this is why I'm very, very worried. The clock is ticking. We have no time, and they are blocking all reforms. We need cybersecurity, and we need paper trails, and we need new machines, and we need locked down systems. And none of that is going to happen without congressional, federal approval and oversight and monies, and it's not happening. So I don't see a solution for this election, which is why I said we're going to have a catastrophe before the country is forced to act. And I think it may be too little too late, because we're already losing the judiciary, and now we're losing the Senate, and these things are becoming non-functional because they're being corrupted. We don't have much more to lose.
Well, I hate to think that ultimately you'll be correct, Thomas. I'm still hopeful. With the variety of ongoing investigations against Trump and his administration, State of New York, Monument thing, Deutsche Bank, his taxes, some point in time, hopefully sooner rather than later, the dam will break.
Well, that's true. And
well,
the only thing I will add to all of this, which we've talked about before, the only solution, quote unquote, I can see at all, regardless of everything happening, is voter turnout. We have to have such overwhelming numbers that even if they still 10, 20, 30%, we still win. And that's the only solution. Because if you give it to 50-50 on anything, they can do that, you know, steal a county here, steal a county there, and steal the election. So we cannot have that happen.
How are they going to do that? We get 30 in there, and they'll say, well, those are fake numbers. There's not that many people voting there.
We just got to get every person registered and every person voting. It's got to happen. That's the only solution I can see at all. overwhelming numbers that they cannot steal.
Why can't they steal if you get another million people vote? Why can't they steal and get another and steal another 500,000?
Michael, it's just that the voting system in the U.S. is so fractured, so many elements involved, that Thomas, right, put enough numbers on the table, you won't be able to deny the outcome. In a close election, anything can happen.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
And that's how they've done it for all of these elections, because if you look at Bush, you look at Trump, you look at everything, it's always down to a few thousand votes here and there. That's it. And we can't have that happen again.
Well, guys.
Thanks for the memory, Michael.
I just wanted to keep things straight. You know, let everybody else there know that it's just another Thursday in the United States. Well, it's a Friday now, but hey, I'm going to drink this weekend till I'm blind with my feet up and go to the beach down in Charleston. So I'm going to forget about all this stuff this weekend.
Well, guess what?
There'll be
plenty of news when you get back.
Yeah, I know. It never comes back. It always comes back, though, aren't you? it always comes back.
Well, enjoy your weekend, Michael.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, I got to enjoy it because I'm getting this knee replacement September 10th.
Correct.
And I understand that knee replacement is worse than a hip replacement.
It doesn't need to be. You and I spoke about that.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be. But with me, it's liable to be. And now that we have our time ending, you know what's good to go out on is a song by Michael Jackson called "Smooth Criminal."
Perfect.
All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Thomas, Michael, have a great weekend.
Go, Thomas.
And have a
great
weekend, everybody out there. Have a great weekend. I will see you. I'm going to play this tomorrow on tomorrow's show. It was great. Okay, guys.
Thanks.